It's a new season.
Thank you for joining us for the Change Lives, Changing Lives radio broadcast, a ministry of New Day Christian Church. And remember, if you are ever in our area, please stop by. We'll make you feel right at home. Now, let's join Pastor George Logan for today's message.
We've been talking about the weapon of love being the weapon. The weapon is love. And so I wanted you to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 25, if you would. And the world is looking for us. They may not know they're looking for us, but they really are looking for us today. Let me ask you a quick question before we get into the word today. If two people were here, maybe let's say outside the door here, and one person you knew very well had a very, very, very prominent individual in our community, well known by everyone here. Maybe they have a position of influence in our community. Let's see that both of them are collapsed. One person is collapsed, and then there's another person that's don't really know, kind of tattered and torn and raggedy and didn't have good clothes on. You could just tell that they were not well kept, and they were collapsed as well. One you knew very well. One was a person of prominence. One you did not know very well, and just looking at them, they had some real challenges in life. In all honesty, which one would you most likely attend to? Come on. The person of what? The person of prominence. How many of you would say the person of prominence? Come on now. Come on now. Most likely it would have been the person of prominence. And there was actually nothing necessarily wrong with that. But it most likely would have been a person of prominence. If we're really being honest. I don't want to speak for everyone, but for most of us, it is our tendency to tend to those that there's some level of return. It just is. I mean, who do we normally give gifts to at Christmas? People we know, right? Even if we're not looking for anything in return, we're doing something because of some form of an investment or some prominence or whatever it might be in their lives. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. It's not wrong. It's actually how we live most of our lives, isn't it? Yeah. And so Jesus kind of leverages that. And so in Matthew chapter 25, I want you to see this. It really opened up my eyes to see what Jesus is trying to do here when we look at the scriptures. He knows us better than we know ourselves, right? And so Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. And so we're still talking about love. And to me, this epitomizes love. Verse 31 says, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon the glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats." Now, I did a little bit of study and said, what would be the difference between sheep and goats? And there's a lot of, you know, you look at commentaries, there's a lot of things that they say. But primarily, there's really not a big difference between the two. They both produce wool. They both produce meat. They both produce milk. So there's not a big distinction about them other than the distinction that the shepherd would make himself. Does that make sense? So there's not no major, there's nothing major that says, oh, well, that's a goat right there, and that's a sheep over there. We do know that goats buck a little bit more than sheep. But he does make a distinction, and we won't go into that too much. I just want you to see that. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. And so one way we can look at this from a New Testament view of it, remember, this is still Old Testament. Even though it's written in the New Testament, it's still Old Testament. Why is it still Old Testament? Because Jesus had not, he's talking, right? He's on earth. He's talking. It's not Old Testament as in the new will has come about. So he's still talking to in an Old Testament form. And he says, he will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. So I want us to just think for just a minute. Again, this is Old Testament. Again, we know that it's not by works, right? And that's how we begin to separate and discern who he's talking to, what mailboxes should go in. But the principle is there's a distinction. The distinction is that those who are of Christ tend to those things. Those things don't save us. Those things don't make us right, New Testament-wise. Otherwise, we would just get rid of the New Testament, get rid of Galatians, get rid of what it says about Jesus being that faith in Christ is what saves us, that our righteousness is in Christ Jesus. Because if our righteousness is in doing those works, in other words, feeding the sick, visiting those in prison, all of those things, if our righteousness was in that, then there really would be no need for Jesus. Does that make sense? So we always have to rightly discern what is being said. However, this should be the character of Jesus in us. Everyone with me? This should be the character of Jesus. This should be the outworking of his spirit on the inside of us. That's the distinction. The distinction is, for I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. I believe that that should be a distinction amongst us today as Christians. That the nature on the inside of us compels us to look after the sick, to feed the hungry, to go visit those who are in prison or isolated. Life-giving, the life giver is on the inside of us, and those are the compellings of us. That is the compulsions that we have in our lives, is that we should be people who live a lifestyle of hospitality. That our lifestyle should be that of hospitality. That we live in such a way that people, the distinction that we have amongst those who are in the world is that we should have a distinction that we're the ones who are looking out after those who are down and out, who are under. That should be our distinction. The outworking of our love, as we said earlier, love, perfect love, the completed love, perfect love, love that is complete. The first part of it is that which has been deposited on the inside of us. The second part of it is, are we looking out after the sick, the hungry, the destitute? All of those things that we do individually, but also as a corporate body. What are we doing to make a light shine? What is it we're doing to make Jesus rise up in the midst of a chaotic, disturbed, world that we're living in right now. It is just bad out there. The world needs us. And they need us to be Christ. Now, let's keep on here. Because Jesus, this is the part I wanted us to see what our DNA is like. This is our DNA. This is what makes us Christ-like. This is what gives us a distinction, is that when we tend to these things, the hungry, that we feed the thirsty, the stranger, that we operate in hospitality. There's a scripture. Let me just read it to you so that you'll understand that this is also in the New Testament as well. And there's a lot more of these out there. Hebrews 13 says, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some of you have done this and have entertained angels without realizing it. Remember those in prison, and if you were there, as if you were there yourself, remember also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. That's New Testament. What Jesus was saying was Old Testament. This is New Testament. Difference being is that he's saying it as this is what we ought to be doing. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Now, prison doesn't necessarily mean being in prison. It means those who are isolated. Those who haven't had a visit in a long time. Those who need someone to come by and visit with them. I was reminded of that just this week myself. And I was reminded, and it just God just really spoke to me, how necessary it is to go and visit people. To go and sit by their side, to go and sing to them, go and minister to them, go and encourage them. There's just something real Jesus about that. There's just something that if we allow him, there's something that breaks through. There's something that like poured out wine and broken bread that comes out of our lives when we just simply allow him to flow through us by going to the hard places. There are difficult places. There are places where people are literally saying, please, somebody come by. Please visit me. Isolation is not just prison. It's not just the bars. There are people who are isolated, they have no bars in front of them whatsoever. And so as we go back here, I want us just to see something because this is what's going to make sense to you. I do believe. Go back to Matthew. And let's keep on reading. So we're entering into Thanksgiving. This is Thanksgiving week, right? I mean, we're going to all probably be with our families and friends. But let's not forget that there are people out there who long for family. They long to belong. They long to be seen. And so it says, verse 37, then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? Now, I'm going to just stop right there. He says, you righteous ones. You see, not everything, when we fully get full on Christ in us, we begin to be unconscious of good works. Did you hear what I just said? When Christ is fully living in us, we begin to be unconscious of good works. As long as I can categorize and tell you all my good works, that means that I'm still in me a little bit. I guess I just, what I, you know, I won't tell you some things like that, but I did this and I did that. But when we begin to be unconsciously conscious of other people, unconsciously conscious of other people, like it's so natural, just so much that I saw myself doing it, but I didn't, but it really wasn't me doing it. It's almost like I couldn't help myself. That we want to be so built up in Christ Jesus that we no longer need good feelings to go and do. It's just a part of our nature now. It's just what we do. We see a need and we're attracted to it. We actually go toward it. We go toward the need, not back away from it. Go toward it. Embrace it. I can imagine Jesus when he went to the pool of Bethesda. And it just almost like everywhere he went, he was looking for the down and outers. He just kind of like a magnet was just pulled towards them. And so here's what I want us to see in this. The next scripture says this. And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Now, I asked you a question to begin this. I said, if you saw a person of prominence here and you saw another person here, which one would you most, and they were both hurting, which one would you go to first? And all the truthful people said, we go to the person of prominence. And there's nothing wrong with that because Jesus is about to leverage that. He's leveraging importance. Listen. And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to the one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. What is he leveraging? He's leveraging that if you think about everyone like you think about the king, if you think about the king like you, like if you think about everyone like you were thinking of them as the king, then you'll be more prone to help them. Are y'all getting this? We don't see everyone that way though. That's why we don't necessarily, you know as well as I do, if you knew a person of prominence and they wanted you to come by and visit them, you would come by and visit them. Because of their prominence. And he's saying, when you do it to the least of these, you're doing it to me. Jesus is wanting them to leverage that thought that everyone is like me. And when you do it to them, you're doing it like you're doing it to me. What if our eyes opened up big for everyone? Like our eyes just opened up when we saw them like they were a person of prominence. What if you, and I'm almost shy to ask this question because I don't know what the response is going to be fully, but what if you saw me? What if you saw me out on the street, dirty clothes, and you looked and you drive by and you say, Pastor, are you okay? See, someone would have said, what's wrong with you? And drove on by. I don't know what's wrong with Pastor. But you know, I knew something was wrong with him. But I dare say, because of our investment in one another, that if you all saw me there, you know, just out of my mind and just, you know, out, I'm certain that most of you, I think, would stop. Say, Pastor, hey, are you okay? Can we get you something? Can we get you some clothes? Can we get you home? What do we need to do? How come? How come? How come I would get that, but maybe not someone else? Now hear me. Jesus understands our makeup. And he's saying that, yeah, treat everyone as though they are like me. Give them, leverage that. I'm leveraging my importance. I'm telling you that treat them like you would treat me. So what if we, every day that we began to think about, I'm doing this as it is the Lord, as it is unto the Lord. What if we began to see everyone with those kind of eyes? What if we began to frame everyone like that? What if everyone began to be significant and important as we give them the status of Jesus? Let me tell you something. Let me give you about three pointers here. Give you three pointers for us to take home today. So he says, and the king will say, I tell you the truth, and you did it. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. You know, one of the things we don't like to talk about because we make so many things political. Lord, have mercy on us. Even helping people. If we assign social gospel to that, there are some people like, I'm just not, that's that social gospel stuff. Well, it's all social. It's people's lives. It's community life. It is social in that sense. What made that so bad that we began to look out for one another? The gospel is social. The gospel does need to be presented in a way that it meets the ills of society. And address it. The church used to be that. You know how slavery ended? Slavery ended because people took on a mantra of social justice from the church. But not only that, they began to deal with orphanage. That came from the church. They began to deal with women's suffrage. That came from the church. Now all of a sudden we want to pull back and think it's just, you know, we don't get involved with that kind of stuff because it's the social gospel. We're always finding some reason not to help folk. Like, you know, but it's people need help. And if we begin to see people, just really begin to see them as Jesus. Let's just leverage Jesus. Is Jesus important? If Jesus didn't have no food, would you feed him? If Jesus didn't have no clothes, would you put some clothes on his back? If Jesus landed up in prison, would you go visit him? And we, when I say we, many in church world, they just need to get themselves up. We just need to pick themselves up. They just need to pull themselves up. And that goes way back. It goes way back to a time when people were really hurting and the church turned their backs. So listen. And the king will say, I tell you the truth, When you did it to the one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. You were doing it to me. Let's do something for Jesus. How about that? How about let's start doing something for Jesus? Huh? How about we just go out every day looking for Jesus somewhere in places we don't think he's at? Hey, he said, and go ye into the highways and the byways and compel them. Compel them. Why not stop talking about all the ills and start doing something about some of these ills? Well, how about we stop looking for the government to do it? So here's what I want us to see. I've been trying to get here, but y'all just hard-headed this day. You just don't want to listen. You got to drive this down in you. No. So number one, Jesus leverages his influence as a king to show the importance and the value of every person. He leverages his own importance and says, give them that my importance. Treat them the way you would treat me. Don't be dismissive. Don't look over people. Don't pretend they're not there anymore. See them. See them. Many of the angst we have within a body, within an organism, is that that organism is not longer working, and there then happens to be atrophy. Isn't atrophy a byproduct of not doing something with a particular part of your body for a little while? And so when our bodies are not, when we're not functioning, when we're not doing what we need to be doing, atrophy comes in. And atrophy can be felt within the body. When all the body parts are not working, then we begin to turn inward. We begin to have stagnation in areas of our body that need not be. We begin to think it's all about caring for ourselves. And then there's just these atrophies that prevent themselves in offensiveness towards one another within the same body. Lord knows there's more to be done than a fight, inward fighting. Golly geez. I can use those words. I feel like Beaver Cleaver today. Gee Wally, come on. God, there's so much more to be done. So many more people that we can be reaching. Number two, value. The value of the service is dependent on the status of the individual being served. Now, y'all know that just in the natural. Some people get better service than others based upon their status, right? So, the value of the service is dependent on the status of the person being served. What if every person we serve is Jesus in our eyes? What if every young man that you see that you have a righteous indignation toward because they don't walk the way you want them to walk, they don't talk the way you want them to talk, they don't see things the way you want them to see, what if their status is Jesus in your eyes? What if every black person or white person or whatever kind of person that you have in some way had some disdain for, what if they become Jesus in your eyes? How would you serve them? How would you serve them? If they lost their, if they lost that piece of them, and we began to really see them as doing as unto the Lord. Thirdly, and this is a good one, this is a benefit right here. You're going to like this. Personal service to the king in a moment of urgent need has personal reward. You know, Jesus says, give to the poor, and what will he do? He will repay. Some of us are trying to get out of debt the wrong way. One way to get out of debt is start paying the debts of the poor. Start serving the poor. He said, I'll pay you. There's reward. There's, listen, this just that, in, that alone should ignite us to know that Jesus is going to reward me. The king is going to reward me for doing him right. Like if I can just get him back to the castle, he's going to repay me. Think about that just for a minute. If we deem everyone as though we're doing it as unto the Lord, we're doing it as to Jesus, he says there is a reward associated with doing things for the king. We can see that all through the Bible. Even earthly kings, David, for instance. David repaid people who did him right. He said, oh, hey, listen, I'm not back there yet, but when I get back there, you're going to be straight. Think about that. David said, hey, listen, those who did me right, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you back good. And when we serve the king is going to repay us. You better believe he's going to bless our socks off. He's going to bless us so good. I know some of you right now today, you better go find you someone and find where the king is. Wherever that king is, you go and do something for that king. And the king says, I'm going to repay you. What if we took on the mindset that everything we do for the king, there is a repayment? Big payback. Big payback. Would that loosen us up a little bit? Would that free us up? Would that free us to serve more? Would that free us to go visit more? Would that free us to entertain strangers unaware? To be hospitable to them? How many of you have seen the movie Lone Survivor? I'll close with this. What stood out to you about that movie, other than anything in the particular stood out to you about that movie?
For me, it was just his will.
His will, okay. What else was in that movie that though he had will, he didn't have what? What made that movie stand out just a little bit? What happened in that movie that made that man assure him that he was going to get back home, and when he got back home, he did something? A stranger took him in, and part of their obligation in that village or in that whatever was what? They took care of what? They took care of strangers. Didn't matter who it was. Didn't matter who they were. Part of their culture is that someone lands at our doorstep and needs help, we take care of them, we fight for them, we hide them, we protect them, we do whatever we can for them. And when he did that, when that man got back over here, got on the safe side, he said, I got to do something for that guy. See, we sometimes think we're losing out when we just extend the hand. No, we're gaining big time. We're waiting for repay. There's going to be a repay. Huge. Big time. Repay. We're going to do something this morning that that is going to illustrate this. And I don't know yet who's going to be Jesus, but you're going to get blessed. It's okay. I don't know which person in this room is going to be Jesus, but you're going to get blessed today. You're going to get shown up blessed. There may be more than one. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes. We're going to exercise a little faith today, all right? And now remember, as they say, you're in the house of the Lord. Let me tell them no lies up in here. We're going to do something this morning. Change
lives, changing lives, by the power of faith. You've been listening to the Change Lives, Changing Lives radio broadcast, a ministry of New Day Christian Church. Please visit us at our website at www.newdaycc.com. Again, that's www.newdaycc.com. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please tell others. And if you ever get the opportunity, please come visit us at New Day Christian Church.